Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 13. Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feasts of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountains and bring olive branches, branches of olive trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house, or in their courtyards, or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole congregation of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. The year is 445 BC. About 100 years prior to this time, the Jewish people had returned from their 70-year captivity in Babylon. And then under the motivating ministries of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, they had finally completed rebuilding their temple. But the wall around the city of Jerusalem remained in ruins. It had been destroyed along with the temple in 586 BC by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So the wall remains in ruins, even though the temple is rebuilt. Now, under the challenging leadership of Nehemiah, the wall of Jerusalem is finally rebuilt, about 100 years after they've returned from the captivity. And the record of this wall building, the rebuilding of the wall, is in this book of Nehemiah. Chapters 1 through 6 tell us all about the rebuilding of the wall. And it took place in a matter of 52 days, a tremendous feat. And with the rebuilding of this wall comes a great revival, a time of great blessing. And here in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, we see that that revival, that renewal, that great time of blessing is centered about the Word of God, the law of God. Now a few more background notes that will help us to understand this portion of Nehemiah chapter 8. In verse 14, we read that they're celebrating a feast of the seventh month. What is this feast? Well, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. It's one of the annual feasts. You can read about the annual feasts in the Jewish calendar in Leviticus chapter 23. The Feast of Tabernacles was held in the middle of the month, middle of this seventh month, and it lasted a week, 7 days. You can see that in verse 18. The Feast of Tabernacles commemorated their 40-year wandering in the wilderness. And in this Feast of Tabernacles, they looked back and they remembered how God had preserved them, had protected them, had provided for them. And one of the things they were to do, according to the law, in the Feast of Tabernacles was to set up these booths or tents or little lean-tos made out of branches. You can see that in verses 14 and 15, made of these branches of trees. And they would set up these lean-tos in their yards or in the courtyard, in the court of the temple, all over the city. By the way, this Feast of Tabernacles is still celebrated today. It's called the Feast of Sukkot. It's celebrated by Orthodox Jews and conservative Jews. It's celebrated in November, about the same time as our Thanksgiving. And the Orthodox Jews still set up these lean-tos, these tents in their backyards, or sometimes on their rooftops. If you have a flat roof, they certainly do that even to this day in Jerusalem. Our neighbors are Orthodox Jews, and they, during Sukkot, set up this tent in their backyard. They do have mosquito netting now, something that they didn't have back in the time of Nehemiah. But it becomes a great opportunity to witness to your Jewish friends, because during this feast, they each day during the week will be out there in their lean-to, in their tent, reading scripture. So we've had a great opportunity to witness to our neighbors as a result of this. One more background note here. I want you to notice that this scripture says that from the days of Joshua, they had not celebrated this feast like they did during Nehemiah's day. You see that in verse 17. Since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, they hadn't celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles like they're doing here. Do you know that's about 1,000 years before this time? So even during the days of David and Solomon and the great revivals under King Hezekiah and King Josiah, they had not celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles like they're doing here. So you can see a great revival is going on here with the wall being rebuilt. Now let's come to a doctrinal point from this portion of the scripture. What is the Bible teaching us here? The one doctrinal point I'd like to bring out from this text today is obedience to the Word of God is the secret of joy and happiness. Obedience to the Word of God is the secret of joy, the secret of happiness, the secret of gladness. Notice in verse 17, there was very great gladness. The wall is rebuilt. A revival has begun. There is great blessing and there's great joy. There's great rejoicing. Verse 17, once again, there was very great gladness. How come? Because they're obedient to the word. The scripture said that they were to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles and how they were to do it, and they obey. Let's just read the scripture where this feast is instituted and how they're to celebrate it. It's back in Leviticus chapter 23. Reading in verse 39, also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the 1st day, there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the 8th day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the 1st day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The children of Israel at this point, they're reading the law, as we've seen in the early parts of Nehemiah chapter 8. They've appreciated the word. They've read the word. They've come to understand it. And now they obey it. They're obedient to the word of God in every detail. They're to celebrate the feasts. They're to make these booths, these tents, these lean-tos out of these branches. They do it. They obey the word down to the very detail. And now, no wonder, there is joy and happiness and gladness. Obedience to the word of God is the secret of joy and happiness and gladness. Do you want happiness in your own life? Of course you do. We all want joy. We all want happiness. We all want to be glad. The bottom line, the secret, is not getting a new hobby, or staying fit, or diet. All those things have their proper place, don't get me wrong. But the secret, the bottom line secret to real joy, happiness, being glad, is obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to the Word. That's more than just reading it and understanding it. It's obeying it. Do we obey the Word? That is the secret for joy and happiness and to really be glad in the Lord. And that really then leads us to practical application from this portion, or shall we say more practical application. Let us obey the word, even though we may not have all the answers. I'd like to bring out that practical application here. Let us obey the word of God, even though we may not have all the answers. I'll bet there were some people in Nehemiah's day who had some questions. They didn't quite understand what this Feast of Tabernacles is all about. Remember, it hasn't been celebrated like this for 1,000 years. I'll bet some of them were saying, why do we have to make these lean-tos anyway? Why do we have to go out and cut down all these trees, these branches? Can't we do this in our living room? I can't find any branches. It's too much work. Or aren't we hurting the wildlife or something like this? I'm sure there was all kinds of questions that came in from some people in their minds as to why God had this feast and why it was to be celebrated in this way. They may not have completely understood all the answers. Well, in the same way, I think there's a number of times when we may not completely comprehend all the commands of Scripture. We may not understand all the whys, why God has commanded this, why God has commanded that. But let us obey the word even though we don't have all the answers. In 2 Peter 3:16, the Apostle Peter says about Paul's writings, there are some things that Paul wrote that are hard to understand. Would you agree with that? I think we all would agree. There are some things in the writings of Paul, which is Scripture, that are hard to understand. But we obey it. Even though we may not completely understand or have all the answers, we're to be obedient to the Word of God. Let's take an illustration here. Take the matter of the role of man and woman, the distinctive roles of men and women as seen in Scripture. The man is to take the responsibility of headship in the home. Men are to take the responsibility of leadership in the church. Now, we may not understand all the whys as to the reasons God set it up that way. In fact, you may have some questions as to why God did it that way. Now, the Bible does give answers, but we may not completely comprehend. We may not have all the answers. We may have certain questions that we'd like further answers. But the practical application we're making here is let us obey the word even though we may not have all the answers. Let's be obedient to the word. And that really brings us to another practical application from this portion, speaking about headship in the home. Let's take this practical application. Dads need to study the Bible more. Fathers, dads need to study the Bible more. Look at verse 13. Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, they got together to further study the word. You see, as we've seen in chapter 8, all the people were wanting to understand, hear the word, and understand it. But the fathers, the heads of the households, realized their responsibility to understand even more. And so they got together to gain more insight into the law of God, into the word of God. Dads that are listening to me right now, you have a special responsibility to understand the Bible because you are the spiritual head of your household. You are responsible to give spiritual guidance and encouragement to your family. Are you fulfilling that responsibility? There's a great model right here to follow. Dads, we need to study the Bible more.